speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
We've been involved in a series of lessons out of the Old Testament Scripture in regard to the prophets of God. And not only to find out from a contextual standpoint as to what the message meant to those to whom it was originally given, but then also to try and to make some application to the ways in which all of these things from the Old Testament would apply to our lives today. This morning I want us to look back into the book of Haggai, and as we look back to this prophet and the message, I want us to explore the negative spirits which haunted Israel in the days of which this prophet and others were speaking before them. As we think with regard to the message that is found in the book of Haggai, to begin with, I think that it is imperative for me to point out is that Haggai was a contemporary with Ezra as well as Zechariah. Whenever I say that they were contemporaries, I mean that they all lived about the same time frame, as well as they were all prophets that God used to speak to the children of Israel during this same time or same era of age. And when we find in regard to the things that we read in regard to these matters, as you go back and you can see from the book of Ezra as to the way in which God is dealing with them, it was a time when Cyrus, who was the leader of the Medes and Persians, issued a decree for the Jews to be able to return back to Jerusalem. And friends, this was a monumental event, a moment amongst the children of Israel, because they had been held captive by the Babylonians from 587 until now 539. And whenever Cyrus issued the decree that would allow them to go back, hence God was allowing them not only to go and to reestablish a form of being able to worship Him as they once did, but then also God instructed them that they were responsible for reconstructing the temple and fortifying the city by reconstructing the wall. And in this then, as they were to reconstruct the temple, to rebuild the temple, to restore it, hence it was also identified as that they were once again going to be able to be afforded a relationship with our God and to worship Him in an acceptable manner. As you read from Ezra chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible identifies to us is that God was able to move the spirits of the people of the Jews. Well, what does it mean that God moved their spirits? It means that God encouraged them. It identifies is that the people were very motivated to be able to go back and to engage in this work. So much so is that Ezra records to us is that they were gathered together, all were gathered together as one man. Well, what does that mean? It means that they were unified. It means that not only were they encouraged individually, it also means is that they were encouraged as a unit. It means that they understood exactly what it was that God expected them to do, and that at this very moment, and I want to stress that at this very moment, they were 100% sold on accomplishing what God expected them to do. And therefore, as you read from Ezra chapter 1, you will find is that the people got busy working together in this plan that God had laid before them to reconstruct or to restore the temple of our God. And friends, the Scripture also identifies for us in regard to these matters is that they were blessed by God as a result of their being focused upon Him. As the fact that they were excited about working in His kingdom. That they were united together. God came and He blessed them. He blessed their work so that the foundation was laid. Friends, as you read from Ezra chapter 1, you'll find is that as they had completed the laying of the foundation, there was a celebration. They realized is that they had accomplished step number one in doing what God expected them to do, and now all that they had to do was to get busy and to restore, to rebuild the temple of our God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Ezra shared with us is that they continued on and that everything went as God expected it to do, as God had commanded them, but yet at the same time we find is that the work ceased. In fact, so much so, not only did it cease for a what we might want, a short period of time for them to take a breather, But friends, it was more than for a short period. In fact, the context of Ezra chapter 4 verses 1 and following identifies is that the foundation laid in waste for 16 years. For 16 years, the people that had been stirred up to lay this foundation, where did that motivation go? What was going on in regard to these matters? Friends, this is where Haggai's message comes into play. Haggai was sent forth by God to urge these individuals to get involved once again in the work after 16 years. Well, in this, not only do we find that Haggai was busy, also Zacharias soon joined Haggai in these efforts of God. You see, God was not only using one prophet to help stir them up, but God was using multiple prophets to lay His message before the people. And I believe that in part this shows the urgency. It shows the seriousness as to the situation that these people were in and the way in which God wanted them to wake up and to get involved once again in doing what it is that they had been sent to do. What was the problem? Well, I believe that it would be an understatement, but also it's important to point out is that they were slack and indifferent towards this work. How so? As you read from Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, thus says the Lord, the word of the Lord, the time has not come, the time that we should build the Lord's house. You see, from a contextual standpoint, they were not concerned about doing the Lord's work. They were not concerned about building the Lord's house. Why? As you read on in the context, Haggai reveals unto them is that the time as they saw it was for themselves. The time was for themselves to focus upon their own homes and to dwell in their paneled houses. I find it important to point out is that as Haggai speaks with regard to them working on their own homes and dwelling in their paneled houses, friends, they had built for themselves very nice homes. They had built for themselves very nice lives. And as a result of that, hence they had gotten involved in their lives and in their own homes and living amongst society that in reality they had forgotten our God. They had not only put aside what God had wanted them to do, it would have been okay for them to have taken a rest, but friends, they were doing more than taking a rest. They were walking away from what God had commanded them to do in returning. And hence, in all of this, God shows them is that they were no longer dependent upon Him, but rather they were dependent upon themselves. They no longer had a true love for God and a trust in God because they were introverts. They were thinking about themselves and about the ways in which they were going to be able to profit themselves and to make themselves happy in life. As you read in regard to this context, it is most important also to point out is that Haggai called upon them in a very direct manner at least two occasions in this first chapter to consider your ways. Whenever he uses this terminology to consider your ways, he's wanting them to take personal inventory of their lives. He is calling upon them to consider their thought process. He wants them to think about the things that they were involved in and the things that they were neglecting. He wanted them also to understand is that there were ramifications that would come about if they did not consider their ways and turn from the error of their ways to get back involved in what God had commissioned them to do. Friends, as you read from the context, as Haggai and Zechariah, and no doubt Ezra has spoken unto these people, finally there is an awakening. So much so that as you go on in this context, the Scripture reveals to us in verses 12 and following is that they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai, the prophet that God had sent forth. And not only do we find is that they obeyed what the prophet Haggai had commissioned them to do as a commandment of God, but friends, also the Scripture reveals to us is that they feared the presence of the Lord. I believe that that within itself served in part as a motivator for these people to reunite with God, for these people to realize the error of their ways. and for these people now to once again engage in what God had commanded them to do. Friends, whenever they recommitted themselves, as they now have once again put their hands to the work, Ezra chapter 6 verses 1 through verse 22 reveals unto us is that the temple was completed in just 5 years. Isn't it amazing what God's people can accomplish, what God will do through His people if indeed they will listen to Him and do as He expects them to do? God assured them in this context of Haggai's message is that they were not working alone. For the Lord said Himself, "I will be with you," says the Lord. And as a result of all this, we know that God was with them, and that's why they were able to do this work in just 5 years. Well, what were some of the negative spirits that were haunting Israel that was keeping them from doing the works? Friends, I believe that from this context we learn is that from a congregational standpoint, not only from an individual standpoint or point of view, but from a collective sense, there was this spirit of procrastination. They knew probably full well in the back of their mind. And if the younger generation that has come along didn't know it themselves from a personal level, it had been shared with them that they had served as captives in Babylon and that Zerubbabel had been allowed by Cyrus to lead them back and that God had a plan for them to restore, to rebuild the temple. All of these people knew full well what God wanted them to do, but yet at the same time, they kept putting it off, thinking probably at some point we'll get to it. At some point we'll do what God commands us to do and He's going to be all right with that. They evidently had convinced themselves in their mind, God sees what we're doing. God knows our heart. God realizes that we've got a life to live and that we've got homes that need worked on, attention and such. And eventually we'll get back to it. And friends, God was not pleased at all with their procrastination. But also I believe that it is very apparent in this context is that these people were self-serving and that they had a spirit of selfishness. In regard to the matter, note what Haggai points out, is that they were worried about their own homes. They were concerned about dwelling in their paneled houses. They liked what they had been able to accomplish for themselves. They loved the situations that they were involved in each and every day because it brought them joy, because it brought them happiness. Because it was what made them glad. But at the same time, what they fail to understand is that God is not a God who wants us to be self-serving, but rather God wants them, as well as all of us, to look outward unto others, but more specific in this context, unto Him. And to realize is that we must love Him above ourselves. We must serve Him versus serving ourselves always. Friends, also, as you read in regard to the context, I believe that it is very obvious is that they, to begin with, had a misdirected spirit of fear. You know, what do I mean by that? They did not have a fear for God, a reverence for our God. If they had, they would have been involved in the work. If they had, the foundation would not have laid in ruins and waste for 16 years. They would have been involved realizing that there were going to be consequences if they had not gotten involved in the Lord's work. And while we have, I believe, the brunt of Haggai's message laid before us, the things that God wanted Israel to understand, I believe that there's some things that God maybe had shared through this prophet that are not revealed in the Scripture. Why would I say that? Because as you draw down to the fact where they said that they obeyed the voice of the Lord, also note what I brought out in this context. It says, and they feared the presence of the Lord. Finally, there is this awakening that says, you know, if we don't do what God expects us to do, we're going to face the wrath of God someday. And friends, they should have understood that message because their ancestors and even some of them had faced that wrath. And now, hence, they were putting themselves once again in that situation. In regard to this matter, too, there was a spirit of impatience. You see, God wanted them to be patient with their own lives. God wanted them to understand that there would be a time and a place for them to work on their own homes. There would be a time and a place after His work had been accomplished, once the temple had been reconstructed, for them to go and to dwell in their paneled homes, to relax in the afternoon, if you would. But in that, they were not willing to wait on the Lord, to trust in God to that end. They wanted their cake, if you would, and eat it too. They wanted to be able to be pleasing to God, to have a relationship with God, and have God to understand them, and yet they were not willing to understand the importance of what God wanted them to accomplish in this given time. Friends, we understand from this context is that there is a spirit within these people that needed to be stirred up. In regard to the message, as you compile what Ezra has to share, as well as what Haggai and Zechariah reveals to us, is that they were able to stir up the spirit of these people. Well, what does that mean? As you go back and read from Ezra, remember it says that the Lord moved their spirit, and I identified from that context is that they were encouraged, yet at the same time, there was that point where they had become discouraged, and that discouragement had led to them becoming misfocused or disfocused or no longer focused upon God. And now, though, Haggai stirs up their spirit once again. They're motivated. They're encouraged. And they're excited, I believe, to get involved in the Lord's work. And that's why they accomplished this work in only 5 years. There are some important questions that I want to lay before us this morning. Things that I want us to ponder, things that I want us to think about in regard to the message and application that can be made to our lives. And this morning I ask, are you a procrastinator whenever it comes to the Lord's work? Sometimes we are probably all procrastinators about one thing or another. We have in our home a bar area, if you would, in our kitchen. Not a bar in the sense is what the world uses it, but an area that sticks out. And whenever I come home from the office or come home of an evening from visitations and such, a lot of times my stuff will end up on that bar area, and Don will say, clean it off. You know I don't like clutter. And it'll lay there not only for the night, but some things will lay there for the period of a week and sometimes even longer than that. And Don will say, clean it up. And I procrastinate. I keep putting it off. And in reality, we cannot. We must not be people who procrastinate in life because we miss all kinds of opportunity. A farm boy had overturned a wagon filled with corn, and a passerby saw the accident and the situation that the boy is in with all this corn laying on the ground. And he told the boy, boy, come to my house and I'll have you supper. It was around supper time. And he says, then I'll come back with you and help you to clean up the corn and put it back in your wagon and you can go on your way. And the boy says, my pa's not going to like it too well. And the guy says, but you've got to eat. Yeah, but my pa's not going to like it too well if I leave the corn and go eat with you. And the man says, but you go with me. He says, don't worry about your pa. He said, I'll help you talk to him. You go with me and eat. And so the boy went and he ate supper with the man and his family. And whenever he finished, he says, now see, surely your pa's not going to look bad at you because you took time to eat. He said, I'll go back now and let's clean up that corn. And the boy says, my pa's not going to like this. He says, son, why in the world would your pa not like that? He says, my pa's buried under the corn. You see, a lot of times we procrastinate. We put off doing what needs to be done in an urgent manner. Maybe sometimes whenever it comes to things in our lives, but friends, more importantly, whenever it comes to the Lord's work. You see, God has created us. God has not only created us according to His image, but God wants us to realize is that there are things that we must be involved in as Christians here in this world. We are to be involved in representing Him each and every day. We are the temple of God. And through us, God is glorified. And through our lives, then, also others are touched. We're able to help people through the opportunities that God lays before us, but sometimes we procrastinate, we put it off, as Israel did in their days. Sometimes there are things that we need to do from an evangelistic standpoint, but yet at the same time, we're too busy doing our own thing, doing what we think is important, misprioritizing. And as a result of that, friends, we procrastinate in doing what God commands us to do with the Lord's work. But then also, do you allow selfishness to hinder you as a Christian? That was indeed a problem there with the Jews, and sometimes it can be a problem with us in our lives. And at times, I believe that we look and we're able to see others. At times, probably, we look and we're able to see clearly even what it is that God wants us to do. But sometimes, I fear maybe we don't do what God expects us to do because of selfishness going on in our lives, and we only see ourselves. A story is told of a man who was very wealthy, a very wealthy gentleman who was miserable. He had everything from a world standpoint that you could want, but still at the same time, he was a man who was very miserable and only thought of himself. And he reached out to go to a counselor, and he told the counselor, he says, listen, he says, I've done very well in life. From a monetary standpoint, from a social point of view, he says, everybody knows me. From a bank account, he says, I don't want for anything. But he says, I'm miserable. And the counselor took him over to a window and told him, he says, look out and tell me what you see. And the man looked out the window and he says, I see men and women and children. He said, I see people engaging in business and in play. He said, I see a whole group of people that make up society. The man says, you see properly in that sense. He took him by the arm and led him over to a mirror, and he says, now look into the mirror and what do you see? And he says, I see myself. And the counselor said, you see, both are windows. And he says, one is crystal clear. You can see out, and in looking through it, you're able to see others. But he says, whenever it comes to the other, the mirror, there's a fine sheet of silver that's over that only allows us to see ourselves. And friends, whenever we allow our lives to be filled up with self-serving things, whether it's money, whether it is possessions, whether it is things that bring us joy versus doing what God expects us to do, then we're just as guilty as what Israel was of being self-serving and selfish in our lives. And therefore, God calls upon us to be humble. And God calls upon us to look after the needs of others. And God especially calls upon each and every one of us to look and to put Him first, and that we might be able to accomplish His great works. But then also, I want to ask a question in regard to this matter. Is your fear of failure greater than your faith in God? Do you have greater fear than what you have faith in our God? And also, are you impatient? And I want to run these two together, and these are points that we found in regard to the matter with the Jews. We find fear and impatience, do we not, in the Old Testament Scripture? Think about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had been promised a child, the promised child, and that child was Isaac. As we learn, God fulfilled His promise, but still at the same time, as Abraham grew old and Sarah, his wife, what do we learn about this couple? Sarah was impatient, and therefore she presented an opportunity with Hagar, her maidservant. And Abraham also was impatient, and in this, he did not have faith in God as he ought to have had, because he went in and slept with Hagar, and as a result of that, then had Ishmael. And friends, we know that that proved to be a disaster in many realms. But then in like figure, think about Moses. It was because of his lack of faith in God. We learned that he killed a man. It was also because of a lack of faith in God and not willing to give God the glory in his life is that he smote the rock whenever God had commanded him to speak to it. And friends, in these matters, oftentimes we can be guilty of walking by sight and not by faith. You get what I say there? God calls us in His Scripture to walk by faith and not by sight. But we have it turned around and we walk by what we see versus our faith and trust in God. You see, the Jews needed to understand is that God was going to give them a time to work on their homes, is that God was going to supply everything that they needed in life if they would just put Him first. If they had fear of God and faith in God and trust in Him. And friends, that message holds true to us today, is that we need to trust in our God. You see, the people, the Jews, during the days of Haggai, Ezra, and Zechariah, needed those prophets and that message to stir them up. And this morning I ask, could it be that you are a procrastinator whenever it comes to the Lord's work? Could it be that you have spent so much time, more time thinking about yourself versus thinking about others or the Lord's work, and therefore you've not been able to accomplish what God expects you to do? Could it be that you have a greater fear than faith in God, and as a result of this, you put off doing what God expects you to do? Could it be that this lesson this morning is needed to stir up your spirit to recognize your shortcomings before God, but then also to encourage you, to encourage all of us, to be involved in doing the work that God once commands us to do to the glory and honor of His name while we live here in this world. Friends, I leave the lesson with you this morning to think about, as well as we want to extend the Lord's invitation for those who are outside of the body of Christ to understand that God gives us an opportunity during times such as this that we might look into our lives, and if we see that we are outside of the body of Christ, He gives us this moment then that we might respond to His invitation. And in response to the invitation, we must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that confession, we must submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're subject to the Lord's call, His invitation in any way, we invite you with His call as to